Welcome to The Final Word, a Bible teaching ministry with pastor, teacher, and author Jim Andrews. The Final Word is grounded on the invincible conviction that what the Bible teaches, God teaches, and that is the last word. On this program, truth still matters. The Bible is in, Babel is out. The Final Word is a listener-supported ministry. Should you want to partner with us in this endeavor or want other information about the program or Jim Andrews, please visit our website at thefinalwordradio.com. Visit our archives there and listen to any program you may have missed. Our postal address is The Final Word, 4565 Carmen Drive, Lake Oswego, Oregon, 97035. We will repeat this info at the end of the program, so have your pen ready. Our email address is jimandrews@thefinalwordradio.com. And now, Jim Andrews.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us on The Final Word. We continue with our exposition of the book of Proverbs. We've come to Proverbs chapter 23, verse 9. But first, this personal word. Dear friends, embedded in every blessing is a burden. For me, it is an enormous blessing to share God's word with you. But with that blessing also comes the heavy burden of funding this broadcast ministry. If you are able to lift some of this load, the announcer will give you our contact information. I will help with that up front. At the end of the program, he will tell you how you can partner with us in maintaining this broadcast. You can always contact me directly at 503-699-9840. Or, for most of us these days, the Internet is always the best way, www.thefinalwordradio.com, where you can find out more about The Final Word, how to partner with us, and also access our programs, so that if you missed a program or you want to direct a friend to the ministry outside of our broadcast area, you can do so. Do know that we always love to hear from our listeners. You send us many nice cards and letters and emails, and we appreciate so much those of you who support us in maintaining this broadcast ministry. Now, Proverbs chapter 23, verse 9. Solomon says, "Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words." That's another way of saying what our Lord Jesus told us in the Sermon on the Mount. Hey, don't cast your pearls before swine. Swine don't recognize pearls for what they are. They don't appreciate their value, and they're more likely to trample them underfoot. In short, don't waste your breath on a certified fool. The chief hallmark of a fool, there are many, is that they don't fear God, and they don't value the knowledge of God, and they don't manifest any desire to conform to the ways of God. So don't speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. Save your breath. People sometimes ask me, as I had one recently ask, "Do you think I should go to such and such a person who was really a certified fool, and just give them a piece of my mind, just ask them, what on earth are you doing? Why are you doing such a thing? What makes you so nasty?" Well, my advice was, based on this and others in the book of Proverbs, no. I've never known a situation in my life where I've given a person a piece of my mind. I went off. I don't go off much. I have that nature, but I've learned. But I've never done it a single time where I felt better about myself or felt it bettered the situation, even though what I said was perfectly just. I mean, the person that I was going off on was a certified idiot. I don't mean an IQ. I mean, it was a fool. They deserved everything I said and quite a bit more. But that never makes it better. Don't speak in the hearing of a fool. You won't get anywhere. They won't hear. They won't listen. All it'll do is just stir up a lot of mud. He will despise the wisdom of your words. And that is true. So save your breath for people who might be reasonable, people who might have misunderstood something, people who might have been misinformed about something, people to whom you can calmly and carefully explain the situation and achieve perhaps understanding or reconciliation. But a fool is a fool is a fool. Don't even bother with them. Save your breath. Verses 10 and 11 go together. Do not remove the ancient boundary or go into the fields of the fatherless. for their Redeemer, capital R, is strong. He will plead their case against you. This is another warning. We had one just recently. Not to jerk around the helpless and the defenseless. God is the God of the widow, the orphaned, the helpless. In this case, we have a warning reminding any tempted to overreach and to take advantage of the weak and the helpless, that they'll be smart not to engage in land grabbing, depriving the defenseless fellow Israelite of some of his sacred heritage by manipulating ancient boundaries. In other words, manipulating the title information. The overreachers, the predators, the rapacious, are warned that such people are not as helpless as they may appear. And if you've been a victim in such a case, you remember this. Their Redeemer, not in this case some powerful relative who might protect their rights or some influential friend, but God Himself. One does not want God Himself going to battle for those whom we have cheated. If you're a victim, take comfort. And if you're a victimizer, take warning. Verse 12, apply your heart to discipline and your ears to words of knowledge. Verse 12 is a renewed admonishment to be attentive to the words of the wise. Verses 13 and 14, do not hold back discipline from a child, although you beat him, smite him with a rod. He won't die. If you beat him with the rod, you shall beat him with the rod and deliver his soul from Sheol. Now this is another resounding admonishment to parental discipline. It's about as countercultural as one could imagine. Today, as you all know, many psychologists have nourished the opposite impression, namely, that disciplinary measures, especially of the physical sort, will inflict terrible emotional as well as possible physical injury on a child. Granted, there is discipline that amounts to physical abuse. There are parents, sometimes who have been treated cruelly themselves, who replicate those patterns, and who out of anger and frustration, not out of discipline, take their inner rage out upon their own children. And that is horrifying. It should be condemned, and we condemn it. But discipline administered by a loving parent, that will not happen. What will most harm a child and set them up for failure and make a wreck of parents, as well as kids, is the lack of discipline. And you can't start trying to do that when they're 13 and 14. They're getting pretty well cooked by that time. It is too late. That must start early, and it must be consistent. And hear this, it must be measured. Verses 16 and 17 of chapter 23. My son, if your heart is wise, my own heart will also be glad. Says the sage, my innermost being will rejoice when your lips speak what is right. Many a parent could echo that. A wise parent has no greater joy than to see the harvest of their parental labor reproduced in godly wisdom in their children. Speaking as one Christian parent, nothing delights the soul of God-honoring parents than to see good character taking shape in their kids and finding in them a heart for the things of God. I certainly can speak for my parents, but not only for them, but for many others I know. My parents would rather any day have seen us poor but rich toward God than the other way around, any day. And any child who wants to know how best to please a godly parent should read this proverb over and over again. If your heart is wise, know this. A parent says, a godly parent says, my own heart will also be glad. That's what I want. I don't want your pockets to be lined so much as I want your heart to be wise. And the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God, and the fear of God is to hate evil. And that's what I want to see in my son or daughter, and my grandchildren more than anything else, is a wise heart. And when I see that wise heart, my own heart will be glad. and my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak what is right. And if you're a wise parent, you need to ask yourself if that is the case with you. So many parents, even Christian parents, try to realize their own frustrated ambitions through their children. They want their children more than anything else to have a good education so they can grow up and succeed in life and have one of the more prestigious careers, maybe in law, maybe in medicine, maybe in engineering, maybe be an architect, or you name it. Have a PhD and be a university professor, and that's their ambition for their kids. It's no wonder that their kids may achieve what their parents want them to achieve, but they run off the rails spiritually because that is not the heart of the parent. The heart of the parent that I'm talking about being this, my son, if your heart is wise, my own heart will also be glad. I don't care what else happens. I want you wise, wise toward God. And my innermost being will rejoice when your lips speak what is right. Son, there is smart. Daughter, there is smart. And then there is wisdom. What I want you to be is a wise and prudent person. Verse 17, chapter 23. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but live in the fear of the Lord always. Don't sell the truth out for a song. Pay the price. Get wisdom and understanding, whatever the cost. Don't look at the success of the wicked, the godless, and envy them in any way, and sell the truth short. But live in the fear of the Lord every day of your life. The other night, my wife and I were watching a TV movie. It wasn't worth much, but we were watching it, and I looked at one of the actresses, and I said, "Aussie, look at that gal. Do you know who that is?" "Oh, we don't follow entertainment figures too much, but I happen to know this." I said, "That is so-and-so." She said, "Who is that?" And I said, "Well, that's a little girl who at the age of 14, I believe it was placarded all over the TV by the Graham organization. She was a little gospel singer and a very good one, kind of a prodigy. And here's a little 14-year-old with a great godly heart and with this great gift. Look, America, see her. She's one of us." I was kind of sad. I just knew what would be the outcome, and I was right. And pretty soon, the world discovers her, and she's on a fast track. And now she's a singer, and she's also an actress, and along with everybody else, totally co-opted by the world and playing, you know, these terrible scenes and leading a life that is perfectly godless, I assume, has thrown any pretense of the faith over her back. But even if she professes it, she obviously does not possess it, given the way that she is living. Sold out the truth, sold out wisdom. The envy of sinners. I want what they want. I want the life that they have. I want the wealth. I want the celebrity. I want all of that. But the wise will follow Solomon's advice, live in the fear of the Lord, which is humble submission to the word and the will of God, which fear of the Lord amounts to hating evil and loving what is good. Selling the truth out, literally, for a song. Get wisdom and understanding at whatever the cost. Now verses 17 and 18. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but live in the fear of the Lord always. Surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off. You know, there's always a tendency to envy the prosperity of the wicked in this temporal scheme of things, where the just outcome of wickedness is such that oftentimes sin and crime do seem to pay handsomely. We had a governor years ago in the state of Oregon who became kind of a political icon, but he had a dark side, and eventually that dark side came out, and his career is finished, and his cachet is gone. As Kidner says, the remedy here reduces to two strategies. Look up, fear God, and look ahead, for the future belongs to the godly, not to the godless. The day of the godless will pass. They may have their day in the sun. They may really shine. They may be in the headlines. but sooner or later, they will come down. Remember the former governor of New York, Spitzer, had his day in the sun, big dog, on the rise, and then his exposure, and now he appears to have no political future whatever. So let us learn from that, any of us who may be tempted to emulate it. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but live in the fear of the Lord. Surely there is a future, and our hope will not be cut off. Our dreams may be busted in this world, but God has a future for us, and it is a glorious future, and it will not be cut off. So put one foot in front of the other, do the next right thing, and walk in wisdom. Verse 19. Listen, my son, to the wise, and direct your heart in the way. Do not be with heavy drinkers of wine or with gluttonous eaters of meat. For the heavy drinker and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. This is one long warning against taking up with boozers and partiers. That is a ticket to poverty and to failure. Verse 22. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. A word of wisdom to honor your parents that your life may be long on the earth. The place to begin is by heeding their experienced voices of wisdom and respect them, not only in your youth, but into your old age. Listen to the father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. We are a nation that can put to death babies, and a nation that can put to death babies can get to the point that it's willing to put to death its elderly and just get them out of the way. But before that, that all begins with despising our parents and rejecting them when they're old. I am appalled at the carelessness, the indifference to parents that I see among children. Some children are heartless. They are cruel. They are so narcissistic. They want their parents to be there for them. Even after they're married and they have children, they want mom, they want dad, or whoever. They want them to come around them and support them and encourage them. But when mom or dad need their help and their support, they don't want to do a thing. And they just dread the idea of their parents getting old and having to be taken care of. They just want to stick their heads in the sand and pretend it's not happening, and they don't want to hear about the troubles and the difficulties their parents are having, because then they might have this on their conscience, if they have a conscience. And they might have to find compassion when they lack any compassion. Lack of natural affection is the phrase that comes to mind. Well, if we expect to live wisely and prudently before God, listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Verse 23, buy truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding. Don't sell truth out for a song. Pay the price. Whatever it costs, go after wisdom and understanding. Acquire wisdom. Acquire understanding. That goes back to the first of this book. Make that a priority. Job one. Acquire wisdom. Acquire understanding. We live in a society where knowledge is considered power. We want people to be smart, to be smart, to be smart. Have outrageous IQs. Well, that's all fine. But it's even dangerous where there is no wisdom. I've seen a lot of smart people in this world, book smart people, and people may be street smart, but they lack wisdom. And those people are dangerous to themselves and they're dangerous to others. What you want to acquire is wisdom, and the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord begins with hating evil and loving what is good. The fear of the Lord is humble submission to the Word and to the knowledge of God, and that brings us around in this modern age to submitting to the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. That's where it all begins, and if it doesn't get there, we lack wisdom. We may have great brains, but without wisdom, it's like a beautifully styled car without an engine. We don't have anything to really drive it. Verses 24 and 25. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, And he who begets a wise son will be glad in him. We've seen this before. Let your father and mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. The highest tribute a child can pay to parents, and the greatest reward parents can receive for their efforts, is a wise son or daughter who walks in godly wisdom, in the ways and will of God. Without that, all other attributes or achievements of any child are irrelevant. I can tell you one thing. I could have been president of these United States, but if I did not know God, if I did not walk with God, I had two parents who would be greatly and grievously disappointed with me. I know what they would have told me. Well, Jimmy, that's all nice. We're proud of you, but our hearts will always ache until you know God, until you walk with God. Son, it really doesn't matter what you've achieved. In the end, it's all going to go up in flames. At the end of the day, it's irrelevant. What we want you to know is to know God. We want you to have a future. We want you to know Christ, to walk with Christ, to take up his cross and follow him, and then you'll have a crown, and we'll all be together in the presence of God eternally. That's what my parents would have told me. I'm glad I had that kind of parents. Verses 26 and 28. Give me your heart, O my son, and let your eyes delight in my ways. For a harlot is a deep pit, and an adulterous woman is a narrow well. Surely she lurks as a robber, and increases the faithless among men. Sexual transgression, as we've seen before, is a trap. It's a trap from which it is hard for one to extricate oneself. A deep pit, a narrow well. Whoremongering degrades the character of any person, and it leaves one's conscience so numb and so dumb that in the end, he can be faithless to any person or duty. If a politician, for example, cannot keep a sacred vow made to his wife or to her husband, when they take an oath of office, how can we believe that they will be faithful and loyal to their duties and to their country? We can't. He who is faithless in little things will be faithless in much, Jesus said. Those who are faithful in little things will be faithful in much. It's a test. Somebody says it's irrelevant, doesn't have anything to do with policy. It has everything in the world to do with policy. And anybody who can't see that's probably trying to cover something up about themselves. In short, such immoral practices ramify in our character in the most destructive way and robbing us of all virtue. Well, in verses 29 through 35, we have a passage, a long passage, proverbial passage about the self-inflicted pains of alcohol abuse. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaining? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger over wine, those who go to taste mixed wines. Do not look on the cup when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. At last it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things, and so on. This describes the self-destructive cycle of excess. Excess leads to trouble and confusion, and trouble and confusion lead to more excess. Well, thank you, dear friends, for joining us on The Final Word. God bless you, and have a wonderful day.
The Final Word, remember, is a listener-supported ministry. Should you want to partner with us in this endeavor or want other information about this program or Jim Andrews, please visit our website at www.thefinalwordradio.com. Our postal address is The Final Word, 4565 Carmen Drive, Lake Oswego, Oregon, 97035. Our email address is jimandrews@thefinalwordradio.com. If this program is ministered to you, tell a friend about it. We do solicit your prayers for God's hand upon this broadcast outreach.